Welcome to episode 497 of the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook and I am joined by Lyle Carr.
What is up, everybody? Episode 497, let's go.
That's Chris Hyde. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello, mate. I'm just starting a mini rave. Big fish, little fish. All that.
I might. Yeah. I don't know if I'd go for a mini rave. I'd go for a mini roll.
What, a chocolate mini roll?
Sorry, now you've made me wonder what other mini
roll. It's more clarification in case I got it wrong, because that's happened before. So you mean a chocolate mini roll?
Yeah. Yeah, but that still insinuates that there's another kind.
No, I just can't stop.
Are you talking about like a small sexual encounter? Because like that can be called a roll in the hay, can't it? You thinking that a mini roll is like just
a short encounter? Reminded me of a story. I know we should talk about games, but this used to wind me up when I was, well, I say a kid. It was when I was in sixth form at school, and we used to have this woman in the canteen. She was called Jean. Right, this dinner lady in the canteen.
Should you use her real name, or isn't that her real name and you've already changed it?
Whatever. Code name Jean, her real name's Sharon.
Jean.
and like in the mornings, I, as you can probably tell if you're watching on video, I'm a man of ample girth, right? Not the best diet in the world. So for breakfast time, sometimes I'd want like two sausages and a hash brown and a roll, trademark beast.
Hang on. Sorry, there's so much information coming here that I have many questions.
We'll get to it in a minute, the punchline.
Okay, fine. No, but it's just, I have questions, but carry on then, fine.
Yeah, and anyway, so I'd start my order with, can I have a roll? Like, and she'd go, plenty of space on the floor, and every fucking morning it used to piss me off. You know those people that think it's hilarious to shout "sack the juggler" when someone drops a pint glass in a pub?
Oh, I know
the
them.
First person to have ever said it. It's like that. I was just like, I just want my sausages and hash browns, Jean/Sharon. Just give me
every time.
Like, plenty of space on the floor.
Did you ever think about changing the way you asked for it so you didn't have to deal with the situation, like, oh, can I have a bun? Like,
can I have a breaded dough?
My mind's on food, so I'm like, I just want a roll. And she'd be like,
plenty of space on the floor.
And I'm like, I was too late because I've already asked for it. I shouldn't have to think, how am I asking for this roll every morning?
But like, the thing is I don't think I'd have told that story if I were you, because like, it's funny. Don't get me wrong, it is funny. And it's like, oh my God, every time. But I sort of feel sorry for her, because that must have been the highlight of her day.
I'm sure it was. She probably thought she was like,
or she was taking the piss, and every single person who asked, she was like, plenty of room on the floor, and then she's like, just like really laughing.
No, she said it to not just me. Like, it wasn't like bullying. She literally, it was her line for anyone that asked for a role. That was her thing.
I would have preferred if it was bullying, though.
Could you imagine if it was just me? Here's the floor rolling kid. What's this?
Well, this is but like, I think there could, you know, you get nasty people in teaching sometimes, and I think it could have been worse. Like, you know, can I have a roll? And she could have gone, I think you've had enough, you fat fuck. You know, I mean, that's much worse.
No, but she was massive, so that would have
that
been
doesn't
like,
mean she's self-aware.
No, but could you imagine?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think that's really funny. Imagine someone that's massive going, you've had enough, you fat fuck.
Yeah, bigger than you. And still, But listen, we should get into games, but I don't want to because I know I need to. So this is at sixth form.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, just to be clear, I also went to sixth form. I should have gone to college, but I didn't. I went to sixth form. Just to be clear, you were going in and placing an order at school for your food. Like, I don't.
Like, what that needs mean? Some. Sorry. No. So there would be like hot food.
Why?
Because it's warmer than cold food. What do you mean?
Sorry,
why
are you getting food like
why didn't you have a bowl of cereal at home?
I think that's kind of like, why are you eating at school? That's what poor people do, isn't it?
No, I'm paying for it.
And we know.
I'm paying for it. I'm literally, you know how you go into a coffee shop or any other establishment.
Yes, no, I understand commerce.
Food? Yeah, good. Okay, good. The exchange of goods and services for money, you understand, right?
So I'm familiar.
I am hungry, so there's somewhere near me. Yeah.
You're there to learn, not eat. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, cheers, thanks. That's where
I don't understand the idea.
That's what Gene should have said.
So big. Yeah. I just went to school and just ate. No.
You're right, Lyle's right. Gene should have said that. You're here to learn, not eat. Now go on, roll down the stairs, fucking roly-poly, whatever.
Could you imagine if to every person that asked for food, she just went, you're here to learn, not to eat. And then the canteen just shuts down.
And slowly sort of did that.
And the shutters just come down really slowly.
Their eyes are always there. There was a shutters come down. And then you walk off back up. Anyway,
like
games.
Something off of like League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, yeah. League of Gentle Gene. Gentlemen. Yeah. League of Gentle. No. Jesus wept. Talk to me about a game, Chris. What have you been playing?
So I've been playing, based on both yours and Lyle's recommendation, I have been playing Cult of the Lamb. There's a lot of games that I've downloaded off Game Pass, thanks to you guys. So this was the first one that I've been playing. And I believe the pair of you, I think you said it, Adam. You said if there was a game that you would say this is a game for Chris Hyde, it would be this one. So let's talk about, about that.
Uh-oh. I should mention before, I'm not going to interrupt you, Chris, but I'm just going to mention that we have a super chat from a man who says his real name is Jeremy Kyle. So
is
thank
that
you very much for that.
Is that referencing Gene's real name is Jeremy Kyle?
Don't know.
Okay.
So right. Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb. So again, really quickly, for those that weren't here a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was, we talked about it, it's kind of a coming together of like a roguelike and like a Animal Crossing type village creation simulator, isn't it, really? So kind of get my words out. But so you're like this cult leader and you have to kind of raise a cult, but also go on dungeon crawling missions to get loads of resources, right? And that's how you kind of, that's the kind of loop. You do one, then you do the other. And I will say before we get into it, because what's going to come next might sound quite pessimistic, shall we say. There is quite a lot of good stuff in this game. I'd like a lot of what you said, Lyle, in your review, I do agree with. You know, the game looks really nice, got a lot of charm, quite a bit kind of low-key funny in places. Controls really well in like the dungeons and stuff like that. And there's a lot in it. There's a lot of like content and things to do and things to keep yourself busy. It's very kind of dense. And for me, therein started the problem that I'm having with the game. And it'd be really interesting to get you guys' perspective, because I know when you guys were talking about it, you're playing the same game, but depending on what decisions and things you prioritize, you can have very different experiences. So I have no idea how much of this is because I fucked up or because of how I feel about the game. So I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts. But I'm, in terms of how far I'm in, I'm at the end of this second dungeon, if you like. That's where I'm at. So I've got to that boss bit. Not beat it yet. I've died a couple of times because I'm crap. But that's kind of how far I am into the game, okay, just for context. I found myself now where I'm in a loop where if I dare to leave this bunch of work shy gobshites alone for the length of time it takes me to go in a dungeon and complete it from beginning to end, I come back and my faith is at zero. They're all dying of malnutrition and they're all pissed off and hate me. I'm like, so then I have to go around and give them all a cuddle and a dance for ages, make sure I've cooked a load of food for them because, you know, heaven forbid they put some own fucking berries in a pot and do something with it.
They do.
They don't.
Okay.
Well, if they do, I've missed how you can make people cook from day one.
No, I don't think you can make them cook, but they can prepare everything else. They can sow seeds, water the plants and stuff.
They can sow seeds and water the plants, but you have to unlock about 40 things on the skill tree before they can harvest the fuckers. And I think this is where I get a bit like, I feel like there's certain things in this game where simple things are locked too far into the divine intervention tree or whatever it is. Because the way it works, isn't it? You have to unlock a certain amount before you can then unlock the main thing that unlocks the next tier. Like most, you know, trees. So
yeah,
it feels like there's certain things where I'm getting bottlenecked. Hunger is one of them, and maybe it's because I picked the wrong doctrine, because I picked the, I think the feast one rather than the one where they'd have to eat for 3 days, and I think you guys picked the other one. I can't remember, but like I literally come back and it's carnage, like Armageddon, like they all, like it's literally they hate me, they all want to rebel.
Yeah,
and I have to
I
get
didn't.
Them all in the stocks and everything like that. I'm like, I've only been away for one dungeon, I've not been off fishing for 4 days and just pissing about. I've done the length of a dungeon, so I feel
I didn't have this issue.
And this is where I'm like, what's going on? Like, I leave with hunger at the top and food on the ground, cooked, ready. I go in a dungeon, come back, and it's just decimation. And like, I can't, and especially if I then fail the dungeon because the boss beats me, I'm like, I've just wasted time, and now I've got to try and pick all my followers up and go, maybe if you'd like, you know, cooked your own berries, this wouldn't be a problem. So it just, it's getting to the point where I'm like, I don't want to go and do the dungeon bit because I can't be trusted to leave these folks alone for more than half an hour to look after themselves. And so that's a bit frustrating. But also I'm unlocking all this stuff where I, you know, all these decorations and stuff. And you know me, I've done Animal Crossing. I'm a man of flowers. I want to, you know, gives me all the, it keeps teasing me. Well, I build some paths and stuff. I haven't got any pissing materials to build paths. I've never known a wood shortage like it. Like, I literally had to like change my entire economic focus to just get wood, so to speak. And I didn't realize that was like the bottleneck, to the point where I've got like 3 woodcutter huts and a missionary going off just to get wood, just so I can survive on all the things I need, because they all need shelters that keep falling over and all the other stuff. Anyway, I'm being quite specific, but I guess I'm just sort of, it feels a bit imbalanced. And unless it's because of the, I don't know if it's because of the decisions I've made from a doctrine point of view, or I'm not getting a particular mechanic, but I'm like, it doesn't, the loop that you guys described around, you know, you can comfortably do one, then the other, then one, then the other, which feels like that's how it started. That feels like it's completely broken down for me. And whenever I try and leave them alone, it's just absolute chaos. So that's where I'm at the moment. And it's a shame because I really enjoyed the start, but now it feels like a slog just to keep them going. So yeah, I'd be really interested to know what your thoughts on what I said, because it's very different to what you got.
Yeah, that's, it is, and it's really interesting because I can't figure out what the hell you've done. Because, like, I never did anything with, like, I never used the rituals where people didn't have to eat for a few days. I just didn't really feel like that was something that I needed. Like, I'd go off and hunger would be high, and I'd get back and hunger would be, like, you know, quite low. But it was never, like, everyone's starving and everyone hates me. Like, you'd maybe have one person dissenting and things, like a few things that needed doing, like you need to empty your toilet and stuff like that. Like, there'd be things that they weren't happy with, but it was always an amount of things that felt like, you know, like, so you've got something to do when you get back, almost, so that it makes sense that you do something on one side then something on the other. I never had the issue of getting back and like everything had got really wrong, and like, you know, I don't know what to say. I can't think of anything in the skill trees, because like, I can't think of anything that I got that meant that everyone like stayed full for longer, and I didn't do anything special before I left. Like, I would usually cook before I left, but it sounds like you do that as well.
Depends
so,
on what
yeah,
he's cooking.
I don't know. I mean, I guess so. Yeah. I just cooked grass all the time. They lived off grass
forever.
Yeah, so
I've got the thing where they don't, is it shit themselves when they eat grass or something? So like, I've got that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, I've got, I've got that, but I just sit there going, so you're all hungry and there's like literally a farm full of berries and you ain't picking any of them.
Are you telling them what to do? Because I think that's one easy way you could end up with them just stood around doing nothing. Are you?
No, but yeah, but there's certain things, like, this is the point, there's certain things I can't tell them to do.
No, but I mean, are you telling like X amount of people to go tend to the farm, X amount of people to
go
in the mines?
But the only thing, but my point is the only thing that tending to the farm means is planting and watering. At the moment, where I've unlocked, that's the point. After like the amount that I've got unlocked so far, that's as much. I know there is, because I've looked up the tree and I'm getting to that point, like slowly but surely getting to the point where I can actually say, can you please pick these berries?
It might be that you focused elsewhere on the tree earlier and that it's made getting to the other bits that you really need harder.
That's the bit where I'm struggled, because it almost feels like you have to almost, not quite, there are things you can leave, but to unlock the next level, you almost have to unlock everything. Maybe that differs as you get unlocked.
Like there's loads I didn't even touch. And often and maybe it was it's the stuff that Lyle did touch.
Because I didn't.
Kind of maybe higher up that's the case.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'm literally, like I said, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but like hunger just seems to drop.
Yeah. It's difficult because again, like when you're talking about tending the farm, I didn't have a farm the whole game. I just didn't. I did got the grass thing pretty early. And like, I always found every aspect of it, especially on normal difficulty. I imagine if you change difficulties, things get a lot more
No, I'm on normal.
You need to manage everything perfectly. But I always found that, as I was playing, it was just sort of like, I could make things work, or I could focus in one direction on the skill tree. And then I'd sort of like, either choose what sort of resources I collected or the doctrines I got and stuff like that would kind of balance it out almost. Like it never really felt that stressful in terms of management. It more just felt like it was like, this is one fun thing to focus on, this is one fun thing to focus on. They feed into each other, but it never felt overwhelming, and it certainly never felt, like I was like abandoning my babies who can't do anything, which it sounds like your game very much is.
It hasn't felt like that the whole way through, to be really clear. It just feels like at the moment. And it's like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but they just seem to just come back. And literally, like I say, that hunger thing is empty. Like, and the faith is empty. And it's like, I've only been gone the length. Those dungeons aren't big, and some of them I'll have got, you know, the wood one or the shop one, which is like one room. I'm like, what? How quicker can I, like, get through this dungeon? I don't know what's going wrong.
It almost sounds like you've hit a bug or something. That's really odd. I mean, yeah, don't know is the answer. Yeah, I'm afraid.
But I mean, I will persevere.
Yeah.
But like, it's a shame, because I literally to the point where I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. I think if, you know, I don't know. I'm just worried that there's like, I know that for the you know, there's like third and fourth bosses, right? In terms of like the chain stuff, the things you've got to do. Mm. I'm imagining that it'll keep adding follower counts to unlock those that are bigger. And I'm like, I haven't been getting more followers because I can't look after the ones I've got, because there's too many mouths to feed or whatever for what I'm doing. So I'm worried I'm then going to hit another wall where I'm like, well, I'm nowhere near the next lot. We'll see. I'll keep persevering. If not, I'll just leave it and play Hellpie. I was surprised.
I would say just do that. I mean, like, you need to play that game.
Yeah, and I will. I wanted to play all of them. Like, there's other, you know, I want to play as Dusk Falls and Immortality and various other things that sound amazing. So,
Well, from a game that sounds like you've got a bug, let's go to one from Lyle that should have no bugs because it was in early access for ages and it's now officially 1.0. Ooblets, Lyle.
Ooblets.
Great name.
Yeah, I've been playing full version of Ooblets, full 1.0 version. I've been playing it on the Switch, and it's so we people who listen to a certain other podcast that we do for the Patreons will know that I'm not a fan of Animal Crossing. They'll know that I don't think that's not a game for me. I don't find the enjoyment in that. And I've also never really been a fan of, you know, like farming games, like, you know, your Harvest Moons, your Stardew Valleys. I've never got hooked into either of those types of things. Ooblets kind of has both of those elements. And I really love Ooblets. Ooblets is great. So you're in this weird world full of, like, they're like Pokemon, but they're all plants. They're basically like Pokemon, though. Like little cute creatures that you essentially collect. And where it's different to something like Pokemon is that the focus is more on, like, you farm different things. And then when you farm the right crops, different Ooblets will want to have a dance battle with you. And then you do dance battles, which are like card based.
Yep.
And you know how much I love my cards. So yeah, you do like little card battles of like you have a certain amount of like beats, I think they're called, a turn, which is kind of like, you know, how much you can spend on different cards, and you have to get more points than the other team and stuff. And then like the loop, just like there's so much to do all the time. There's missions constantly. There's always goalposts for you to aim for. Like if you're someone who really loves something like Animal Crossing and like really likes getting all the furniture and like setting up all the, like making everything pretty and having the perfect visual aesthetic, focus your money and your time on going down that route. Or if you want to be like, if you want to try and collect as many of these little ooblets as you can kind of focus on that. Every one of them you find you can get money for scanning them, so it all sort of feeds into itself. And they will help on your farm too, like you can get them to stay on the farm and they can water your crops for you and stuff like that. I mean, in the town you can make friends with everyone, so you talk to everyone every day. It's like a really silly game as well, like it's not serious at all. Like they kind of use the almost, it's a bad comparison because this is a game I think that it always sounded like did it terribly, but is it Biomutant, where all the language was really like the Rick and Morty like before four times type stuff. But in ooblets, it's more just like, it's all so silly. So instead of going fishing, you go sea dangling. And instead of picking up wood, you pick up planklets and things like that. Like everything's just a little bit sillier. It's just a world I really like being in. And I think
I've got an image of Lyle, yeah, sea dangling. I want to get it out of my head quite quickly, but I can't.
Sea dangling.
Yeah, you should. Sea dangling, as good as a name that is, it does have, it has lewd connotations if you are
lewd.
If you're so minded, lewd. If you're lewd like you, but yeah, like it's, there's a lot of things I can talk about it that are sort of, they'll sound
every
like
other game.
Things that are in, you know, all the games I mentioned, the Stardews, the Animal Crossings, the Pokemons, but like they not only mesh them all together really well, but I think what's just so good is like they make sure, like, you'll have a list of objectives or main missions you do and stuff like that, and it's so easy to have a focus. Like, it's not one of those games where you go and you're like, well, okay, I've woken up, I'll go gather these things, I'll go water my crops, I'll go to bed, and you feel like you're doing this, like, kind of, like, tedious loop over and over again. Like, you'd run out of time and you'd run out of, like, your sort of energy meter and stuff like that far before you'd done everything that maybe you'd have wanted to do. And it just feels like you're always really driven. And it just, like, yeah, it really, really, on Switch, I'd say it runs okay. It doesn't run amazingly.
Doesn't
like frame
mean,
rate
okay.
is a little off. Yeah, I mean a bit worse than okay, probably. But it, like, I don't know, it depends how much that sort of thing bothers you. It was never to the point of being, like, unplayable for me. It was just, like, it chugs a little bit sometimes. It's, like, it's not going to be hitting... It's not going to be a stable 30.
That's what I was going to ask.
If that bothers you, that's unfortunate. But, like, yeah. I mean, it's not, like, it's
Deadly
not awful and it's not dipping constantly, but it's not... No, it's not Deadly Premonition. Don't worry. Which I would recommend, too, so you can't trust me.
In certain podcasts, you can trust him.
No, don't do it.
I am interested, but like, there's so many of these games.
I know, this is like, the thing. That's what I was.
Like, I was interested in it when it hit early access. I have it on Epic Store, I think, and like, I was interested then and haven't played it. It's just there's it's really difficult. Of all the genres out there, this has got to be one of the toughest ones to sort of stand out in, and it sounds like it does through a combination of the art style and other stuff.
There's quite a following for it from what I see, like people are like enjoy it, but yeah, I'm with you. Like I had it on Epic and I'm like, I downloaded it a couple of times with the intention, and then I've not, and like even the stuff you're saying with like cards and stuff, because I like a card thing as well, like, and I'm like, so yeah, it's one of those I think that I may not get around to, but
I mean it definitely. Yeah, I mean, it definitely helped playing it portably. Like, I was glad that I was playing it on a handheld system, because I think if I was sitting down at, like, on a desk or like taking up over the TV or whatever, like it wouldn't be a game where it would be easy to sink that time into, but just like doing a few days, you can even just do it where you have a couple of the days like before bed, just like, you know, it's neat slotting as and when.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Mickey in comments in the YouTube.
It's hard to say.
Mick in the YouTube chat there says Steam Deck has changed Lyle. It has. It's changed me too, really. I mean, I'm kind of thinking the same thing.
Should I just go to sleep for half an hour while we have another monologue about how great Steam Deck
is? No, I just... It's like when... I don't know if anyone else uses their sort of Switch in a similar way that I do, which is that it's a bit like the Xbox and that... Well, actually, no, that's unfair. But I was going to say you kind of play the exclusives on it. And I'll tend to go PC or PS5 for multi-format stuff. Because like, especially with Switch...
With Switch, because it's, you know, of the nature of
you're going to get a lower, like lower frame rate or a worse visual thing. Still a good game, whatever you're playing, but it, like, you know what I mean. And I think
the only
Steam
the
Deck
only
is like that. It's like it's like a Switch Pro in that you might. Yeah. And there are still cases like we can move into it. Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed. I've been played that on a bit on the Steam Deck, and it isn't as good as playing it on PS5, which I've also tested, and you know your PC. You know what I mean? You are not getting that 60 battery smooth frame rate, but you are getting much better, if that makes sense, on the deck. So, should we just talk about Destroy All Humans? I'm not going to spend too long on it. I wanted to bring it up mostly because this is a game from 2006 that's been remade, and essentially they've kept the story, they've tweaked some mechanics, and you know, it's modernized.
Quite brave in some respects.
Yeah,
to keep
like
the story, I think, which I think it's a good thing. I'm just saying, sometimes cancel culture rules, doesn't it, a little bit?
And... No, they get away with it because it's a remake. Like, I don't think anyone's out there making stories about aliens fighting KGB Russian agents and, you know, like that sort of thing now. I don't even think that some of the humor would probably get past the cutting room now. Like, I don't. I'm not the person it's aiming to upset. Do you know what I mean? With its kind of sexual references, it's not me that's gonna get upset. You know, it's very South Park, I guess, at times in that, and I'll laugh at that. You know, I didn't find it particularly laugh out loud funny. I found the gameplay very enjoyable, and the reason I bring it up really is because like it was quite remarkable playing this, a 2006 game remade, at the same time as playing Saints Row.
Mm.
It was quite a remarkable...
It looks nice, actually.
It does. Like, visually, it is a good-looking game, but it's like... It. You know how Saints Row went down that path of it started off like a kind of... Well, it did. It started off as a GTA clone, and then they realised they couldn't compete with GTA, so they made it kind of a GTA parody. And as they progressed, they just made it more and more outlandish and crazy. To the point where you're jumping buildings and flying around. Like, in Destroy All Humans 2, Reprobed, you get a jetpack within 10 minutes. Like, 10 minutes later, you've got a weapon that you can... Like a pellet gun thing where you fire at it and it just makes everyone bounce around like crazy. You know, it's that kind of open... And it's not, like, massively open world either. It's more like mini open world sections. And it's just more fun because it's like open world games either take this, I guess, the GTA 5 like super serious tone where there is possibility for wackiness, but it's kind of like, no, we are a serious story being told here, or they go for that kind of Crackdown sort of thing where it's just, the word I would use is playground. And this is that playground. This is like, and I think that's like Saints Row had that, and we're along with Crackdown were like the kings and queens of, they were the masters of the fun playground, the bouncing around. And that's what, like I say, playing them at the same time, it was kind of like whiplash. It was so odd to be playing a brand new game from a developer that's like, they are the ones I think of when I think of like bouncing around rooftops, Crackdown, 6-3, 3-4, whatever. And then playing that, what they put out, and Destroy All Humans 2, which is a remake, and I would, if you want that fun, that's the one I would say go for. You don't really need to have played the first one. Like, it's kind of elements of... They kind of improved a lot from the first one to the second one anyway. Like, there was a bit of stealth in the first one. They got rid of it, really, in two and stuff like that. And it's a real focus on you as the player. Like, how can we make it fun? Like, even the jokey shit, like the anal probe weapon, which fires a green line off. You may have just seen it in the video, actually. Even that, which is just a kind of almost like a joke weapon, has been dialed in to be actually fun, so that, like, while you're doing it, yes, you'll kill them or whatever, but, like, also if you time the removal of the probe at the right time, you'll, like, get something for it. Do you know what I mean? I think it's health. It's been a few weeks, like a week or so since I played it now, but, like, you know, you'll get, like, a health
from their arse.
Yeah, essentially. Okay. But like what I mean arse is health, all these arse things... Health. That could just be, oh, it's an anal probe, ha, 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 ha. They're shooting them with an anal probe and they're writhing, ha, 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 ha. It's also kind of like, yeah, they added the gameplay element, which, like, if you time the retraction, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's a focus on fun and, like, anti-friction, do you know what I mean? It's like, just, it just wants you to have a good time. And the other game I've been playing that I want to talk about again, talking about emotional, this is like emotional whiplash.
Very similar.
Like, I've been playing The Last of Us Part 1 for the last couple of weeks, like we teased. And without this being the shortest section of a podcast ever, it's The Last of Us. But it looks as though it was made with The Last of Us 2's visuals.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know. Do we want to do the debate here? Do we want to talk about this? Like, I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, 70 quid, you know, or whatever it is, $70. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, just shut up. Because I get it. It's the third time the game's been released. But there will be a lot of people who haven't played this who will then go and buy it because of the HBO series whenever that comes out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and you know, Chris White, who reviewed it, gave it a 10 out of 10, and I discussed this, actually. It's like, the price is relevant for discussing, totally. But if they charge 200 quid for this game, doesn't change if the game is good or not.
I know, and this is interesting, because I'm glad you brought it up, because I've read a couple of reviews, obviously read ours as well, and I read a few reviews where it's like, it's, you know, it's its second remaster and it's $70, you know, so it can never be a 10 out of 10. And there's the multiplayer aspect as well. But, like, I'm like, that's not what this should be about. It's not a value for money score.
It's like, if Chris had put it in his review.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wouldn't have edited it out or cut it as the editor in chief. And I'm saying it now that it's too expensive. And to be honest with you, it would have been such a good PR move to just drop it down, just not to like 20 quid, but maybe 50. Yeah. What I'm saying is, don't charge the full 70 that you charge for a new Spider-Man. Like, I can't sit here and say to you, oh, when I played it, and all the time I was just thinking about the money and thinking, oh, that it's not as good as it was, because it doesn't change the game being good or not. It just changes the value proposition, which is something only you can decide.
Yeah, it's like with anything. Like, you know, you score a game and then you make a purchasing decision based on how much that game is. So, obviously, at launch, it's RRP more often than not, and then over time, you might get sales. But you're reading a review for the...
Is this game good or not? Is it worth my time?
This game for me? Mm-hmm. Sometimes a game can score highly, but it's not for you, and vice versa. But, like, you're trying to find out, like, what the game is and what people think of it. Not, oh, but it's 70 quid, so therefore I'm going to knock 2 points. Because then I'd argue your review becomes out of date once this game goes on sale. Because are you saying,
any game goes out of date when
Yeah, because now you're saying, now it's 40 quid because it's on sale. But, oh, that 6 out of 10 is now an 8 out of 10. Well, that's stupid. So, I mean, that's my personal opinion.
Like,
I just think...
It's difficult, right? Because if you've played it 10 times over, you know, 5 times originally, 5 times the remaster, like, you could almost... I'd be tempted to say, well, look, you know, it's an easy swerve for you because you played it 10 times. That said, this is the best version of it. Like, this is amazing, by the way.
If I've played this game 10 times, so I say I'm that person, right?
You love it.
And I love it because I played it 10 times because I think it's brilliant. If I then see a review that says it's a 7 out of 10, I'm going to go, what have they fucked up? They must have.
Yeah,
they
must.
Something...
The AI must be broken.
There must,
or
yeah,
the,
there
the
must
guns
be something
don't work.
That's statistically worse. And that, so yeah, look, I agree. For me, this game is it should. I would prefer it if it wasn't $70 because
of course, and I agree.
It's a remaster of a remaster, but like
it is. It's a remake. It has to be.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know it's ground up, isn't it? To be
no,
fair.
But a lot of the tweaks that you would actually notice are very much under the hood. Like you will straight away notice, oh god, that looks yeah. It does that thing if you that's how you think it looks, and then if you boot up the old one you're like
yeah,
oh no
yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
So it does that thing, which is always a way of a good remake. A lot of the stuff like that I wanted is the AI stuff. Like I didn't notice my AI partner just walking through a clicker or something in the middle of, you know, and breaking that immersion. They've done work on the AI. People wanted the mechanics from 2 put into part 1, you know, the jumping stuff and the prone stuff. That's beyond what this is. That is like a full-on reimagining. Like the game, the environments, the world that you are playing through weren't built for you to go prone and leap
exactly
and jump.
Yeah, exactly that.
It's not Uncharted. Yeah. It was never built as Uncharted. Like, I can only tell you that I absolutely love this game. Always did, holds a special place. But I'm not one of these people who played it religiously and like played it 20 times over the years. Actually going back to it now was the first time I've played it since reviewing the remaster. And that's quite a long time. And also I've played 2 since, which was like... it's the difference between 1 and 2 is interesting because I think both are 10 out of 10 phenomenal, like best of generation experiences. Best in class. But like one has more levity to it, and I don't mean like you're laughing and joking through it. One has moments of emotional levity where like there's some sort of almost cuteness as the relationships are being built.
Oh, 100%.
Whereas 2, and I remember saying how dark of a game it was in my review of it, or preview. I can't remember. I wrote something about it and said it was dark. Whatever. It very much like 2 is. I think 2 is, people will hate me for this, but 2 as a piece of art is fucking ridiculous because the mood that 2 puts you in, it puts you in a dark place. Think of some of the QuickTime stuff like towards the end of the game, not going to spoil, like the pipe moment swinging, like the place that game puts you into. I don't think another game's ever done that to me. Like that is a game where I had to sort of put the controller down when it faded to black for a moment and go like, wow. And I think 1 has some superb moments. But there's but
there
the levity means that like there's some of it's more like, "Huh, that's sweet, you know, that's smart." Cuz you're seeing these characters for the first time and that has only gotten better. Like I'm not going to recycle what Chris said in his review here because it was something I considered we should cut because it's a spoiler. But it was an example he had to give to explain how much better it is. But one of the ones I will give, and I used this when cutting together the video review, is do you know in 2 when you choke someone from behind and you can spin the camera around and you can see it on their face, like they're panicked and they put that back into 1, like that exact thing. And it's like, that is impressive. Like, you know, you see them, you know, not the clickers, but like the sort of zombie ones that run at you and are still sort of human. They're not gone all the way yet. Like you see them as humans, if you know what I mean, because you've spin that camera around and like that is, I can't tell you, definitely go and buy it. It's well worth your money. I think it's worth playing because I think it's still a wonderful game. And oftentimes games that are that old, you think, well, I won't play it again because it's probably aged a bit and it's like, it won't feel as good. It just felt like a new game that I just remembered. Do you know what I mean? Bits and pieces of it, I would be like, oh yeah, I remember coming in this. So like, for me, it's still an app. Absolutely. I mean, I'd forgotten all about some of it. I'd forgotten all about the medicine bits you find to upgrade. Like, I'd forgotten all about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and it was so nice to play it again. I just really enjoyed it. And I know it's expensive. And I'm totally, like, in the chat here, Kieran says I would have bought it day one if it had been £40. The sad truth is that, like, Nintendo, who put out a game that's £60 at retail or whatever, and then Sony now doing £70... That's where we are now. Like, it was always going to happen, and whether it's right or wrong, it's not, it sort of doesn't matter. We're not going to change it. The only way you change it is voting with your wallet. But I do think it's a wonderful game. So there you go, The Last of Us Part One. Buy it or don't. It's still a 10 out of 10. It's still an amazing game. Looks better than ever. They've whipped out factions, left the DLC in, made some tweaks under the hood. It's still fantastic. Buy it or don't if you think it's not worth it. But like, there doesn't need to be this gnashing of teeth and anger about it. Like, buy it or don't. Like, that's ultimately it. You don't need to tweet Neil Druckmann or whatever. Not saying people have, I'm just saying you don't need to get angry and swear at people and argue with people. It's a simple equation. If you love the game and you really want to play it looking at its best, buy it or maybe even rent it. I'm sure you can rent games somewhere. And if you think it's a rip-off and you think I'm not paying that for a game I've bought twice before, don't buy it. And on that note, it's time for listener correspondence.
It's time.
Time. Over to you then, mate.
I still think it's brilliant. Like, I still, it's silent to me, but it's just brilliant. Right, so let's get straight into it. So McPoo asks, what we think the best use of licensed music in a video game is. Music/rhythm games aren't eligible. Sorry. Lyle, come to you first. Please don't steal my answers.
I'm almost definitely not, but I am picking a better answer than whatever yours is. And that is, that's Hey Mickey in Lollipop Chainsaw. I think that's a very good use of licensed music.
Yeah, that's terrific.
When you go into, I think it's Sparkle mode, which is like your sort of special mode. Hey Mickey plays.
It's another very game, good. A bit like Destroy All Humans, where you're like, they're remaking it, aren't they? And you're like, that'll be an interesting time, won't it? But I love that game at the time. I thought that was one of the best games from that developer. And it's like, it's a good game. Do I get to go next or do I have to go last?
You go next and then I'll be annoyed.
I don't know if I'm having deja vu or we've done this before.
Well, just answer it.
No, I feel like I'm going to literally either repeat myself here or say someone else's answer, or I dreamt this. But I would say the best use of licensed music for me is Dead Man's Gun from Red Dead Redemption. And I feel like if I didn't say that, someone else said that recently. Because the way that game ends, and I'm not, again, I mean, I know it's a really old game, but like, the song starts playing as the credits fade, and the thing you've just seen happen is one of those, I remember, again, it was like jaw on the floor, like, and the music just fit it perfectly. I'd also say that same game, getting to Mexico for the first time, was it Jose Gonzalez? I can't remember, So Far Away, I think the song was. That was like it was interesting, that game, because they didn't have like a ton of licensed music, but when they used it, it was like absolutely so, so good. Like those two moments in Red Dead are just like when you're going, you've hit Mexico for the first time and this song just fades up and starts playing, and it sounds right for what you're doing. And again, like Dead Man's Gun by Ashtar Command at the end is just, it's a great song. And there's a beautiful, beautiful like orchestral, it's kind of like an acoustic version. It sounds very similar, but it's live. And like, it's a really nice version on YouTube. If you look it up, Ashtar Command, Dead Man's Gun live, I'm sure you'll find it. You'll know it by, you know, it looks orchestral. So that's me. Chris, what about you?
Well, I was just thinking more general, actually, rather than, I mean, you've clearly outdone me with proper emotional. I was just going to be like, I mean, I still think like music and like, I thought you were going to say in like Tony Hawk's games and stuff like that. I just think that the way that like those, I mean, I lived off the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 soundtrack when that came out.
I think you're cheating a little bit there.
I'm not cheating. I mean, fuck off. You are,
because I could have just gone then right Paradise City from Burnout Paradise. Because
why didn't you say it then?
Because it doesn't. It feels like you're. He said music rhythm games aren't eligible, and like, I don't know.
How is Tony Hawk's a rhythm game?
Well, I'd argue that it is. It's what? About the rhythm of playing. That game is definitely a rhythm game, but what? That's not the argument.
A rhythm game. He means
I know. He means no guitar.
Guitar Hero. I'm not saying Guitar Hero.
Like, I just want to say that Lyle and I made the effort. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't pick something that just like a soundtrack you listen to while you play.
PGA Tour had Chase This Light by Jimmy Eat World in it. I quite like that, you know. EA Sports had Churches.
Should I just sign off then?
No, go on. What was your song? Is it out? Is it no? Can I guess? Is it I forgot the name of the band. That punk band that everybody loved and that were in there.
That sounds very generic.
I literally can't think of. Oh, God, I can't remember. I never really got them. Go on, just answer.
I mean, I was just thinking of like Ace of Spades or something, but like it.
Is that Tony Hawk?
I have to say, like, actually thinking this is proper old and no one else will probably get this. Similar vein, but when I used to play the Pants off of SSX3 back in the day, I preferred it to Tricky. I know I'm one of those people. But that had a really good soundtrack. It did the thing that quite a lot of games do with that, you know, kind of when you land the really big trick, the volume comes up and it blares, like, because so you feel like a badass, and it kind of, when you crash, it kind of like fades out, like pretends it didn't really happen, a bit like Guitar Hero does, I guess. But there were songs off that I, from artists I'd never really heard, and I kind of ended up buying albums and things like that just purely from games, which I've never really done to any game since, like, you know, so probably that.
I'd give a shout out to the intro of Miles Morales. I vaguely remember that having a really well done, and I think the original Spider-Man before they changed, you know, when they remastered it and they changed like the voice, was it voice or face actor?
But I remember the gameplay of Miles Morales opening, but I can't think of the music.
It might be Spider-Man, the first one. Like they had him when he sort of jumped out the window and started swinging, and there was a song that really worked, and I think they actually changed it. Oh, someone's got to help me out here. The band was the ones that did Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
No, Offspring.
Thank you. God damn, I wasn't going to sleep tonight.
By the way, another one. Katrina and the Waves, Walking on Sunshine, Lego City Undercover opening.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
So we'll have that.
No, that's a good one. Fair play, Chris. You pulled it back, mate. There. Fair play.
Okay, so then Mick has asked his questions separately like he normally does. So we'll start off with Adam. Thoughts on Halo's news about the co-op? I'm assuming he means the delay to November that's come out today. Yeah, pretty much. We shall never play that.
I don't want to say I don't care.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I'm worried now that I don't care.
I'm never going to play it. I'm never going to play it. I had the option to play it and I didn't because of the way it was handled. Like, it's crazy. Like, at some point, it becomes almost a pride thing. Like, just cut and run. You know what I mean? Like, there's throwing. I really like Halo Infinite, for the record, but it's almost like, are you throwing good money at bad after bad? Like, do they really think what they're spending development time making this mode? That, like, split screen has been cancelled, so that's pissed people off. We don't know yet when proper co-op's coming. It must be soon. Like, I know there's reports of it being delayed, but I don't know if that's true. Because, like, they were testing it. I could have played it, the whole game. So I'm not sure that's true. But the split screen being cancelled is like, people played Halo split screen a lot. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's no co-op yet.
Mick
no
said he meant the split screen being cancelled, but...
But even then, like, the Forge is still not there. People are data mining stuff they haven't announced. It's just... It's a shame because, like, it just seems like a mess, that game, and I don't get it. I don't get, like, it's Halo, so Microsoft can't cut and run, can they? Is that what it is? Like, is it because it's Halo?
Maybe.
But it's a sad thing. No one cares about that game, and I don't mean that in like a horrible way. I care about that game, but I'm not playing
it
anymore.
But you also don't.
No one does. Like, I can't. I would love to see the player counts. You know. Yeah, I just...
It just feels lifetimes ago, doesn't it?
So like, long ago, I know it's like...
But you think it was delayed so a weird. Year.
Yep.
And then when it came out, it still didn't have those functions. And if the rumours are true that this stuff's coming in November, it will be another year from when it came out. Like, I don't know.
And even when it came out, they did multiplayer first and then campaign. Like, it's all been... it's all been very separate and quite weird, and just it's been very easy to just be like, oh well, like it's easy, it's so easy to forget, or it's so easy to not think of it as this full package. Or
Halo used to be an event, like it used to be a big deal, an event, and I don't think they got it right at all.
I feel like they so wanted their 6 in 6 thing, and so they just rushed. I think they should have just left it.
They didn't rush it. I mean, they took long enough, as it, you know.
No, but sorry, they were under so much pressure because they delayed it because of the backlash, and I just think they should have just left it and now released it this year, complete. But anyway.
I find it very difficult to get enthused about anything Halo right now. If they were to announce a new Halo, I would be interested. But like, you can't do that right now. They need something big to come and take the folk. They need a new Gears or something to take the shooter audience.
I was going
to
say, they need something, surely. Okay, let's bring it back. Given what we've talked about, this is quite funny. Would you buy Wind Waker HD for £50 if it was just the Wii U version ported?
Yeah. My question would be, what would you want?
Well,
otherwise,
this is what I was going to kind of counter in, because this comes back to the remastered conversation, because the HD version is a remake of the original, which is much better than the original.
But it's also a difficult question, because I'm in a very lucky position in that I don't have to buy it.
Yeah. Like,
would I personally go out and spend £50 for it? No. I've played that game.
Yeah,
I want new games. I've always been on record as saying I absolutely love some of the games that get remastered, and that they're done really well. Final Fantasy VII, The Last of Us looks great, and I've enjoyed it. But I like new games. I can always go back and play. I mean, I own Wind Waker on Wii U, so it's like I could just if I wanted to, and I don't, and I'm not, so I wouldn't. Like, no, I would. But it's different for every person, isn't it? If you didn't play it, then of course you would.
Yeah,
if they were to announce a Metroid Prime 2 one, because I haven't played Metroid Prime 2, you know.
Yeah, we've always said, right, we've had a question about it before, like new game or remake, and it's always new game, no matter what the remake you're talking about, because it's a new experience. But, I mean, I genuinely think Wind Waker HD is a fantastic game. They almost fix every single niggle with the original Wind Waker in that game, and it's brilliant. So if more people got to play it, because it came on Switch, because about 3 people bought a Wii U, then I think that's a good thing. But
so in the chat, like Kieran's saying, they'll do a relaunch in like 2 years time where there's more content to try and get people back. That was Halo, sorry. He says those Zelda games should be in a double pack. £50 for both is fine, but solo too high. It's not like they'll do a load of stuff to them like they did Skyward Sword. Now is the suggestion that people think they're gonna do like Wind Waker and Twilight Princess?
Well, people have been saying that for years, isn't it?
I'd be stunned if they did that.
They absolutely won't, because those
should they?
Games,
yes.
Yes.
I'd be absolutely stunned
Nintendo
if Nintendo
won't
that.
Because they could charge £50 for each of them.
100%.
The reason they did it with the Mario stuff is because those games were so old that would be, if they charged releasing Mario 64 as £50, that's taking the piss even for Nintendo.
No, but let's not forget they did then take it off the market.
Oh, I know. Yes, you know, they still did Nintendo.
There's no way. I mean, they should. Yes, they won't.
Yes, is the point. And then, what Wii or Wii U game do you want on Switch, barring the Zelda ones?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I still haven't played the wonderful 101, so I wouldn't mind playing that on Switch. But
not already on Switch?
Yeah, no, it is. But I'm saying I haven't played it, so I wouldn't mind playing it. I don't think there are. I mean, Pikmin 3. I never bought the. Was it Deluxe, wasn't it? Are there any left? I mean,
Xenoblade X, isn't there? It's like
that's the one that always gets mentioned, isn't it? Xenoblade
X. That's for Wii. I mean, bloody hell. Well, I mean, Metroid Prime trilogy.
I was going to say,
Metroid Prime trilogy.
Metroid Prime 3, because Metroid Prime and 2 were the GameCube.
No, but they were a part of Metroid Prime trilogy,
the
which was
trilogy
a Wii release.
Wii,
so do the trilogy on Switch.
I'd love the trilogy on Switch, you know that. I'd fucking play that. I'd pay £70 for that. For that trilogy.
That'll be my answer, I guess. Metroid Prime trilogy. Which is cheating, but I can't think of a Wii or Wii U game that hasn't yet come out, so.
Sorry, it's just Mick saying Mario 64 is not even worth £5.
Yeah, but he likes No More Heroes 3, so I mean we don't have to pay any attention to that comment.
Standards. Speaking of interesting standards. Lyle, your questions are next. Ooblets or Temtem?
I haven't played Temtem, so the easy answer, yeah, I guess, is Ooblets. But from what I know of Temtem, is that not like kind of like Pokemon-esque, but maybe a more online focus?
It's
like
more
MMO
Pokemon than what Ooblets is, from what I know, yeah.
I mean, I still think, I just like the blend that Ooblets brings. I still think I probably would say Ooblets. I can't say for certain, haven't played one of them, but I'll say Ooblets for the sake of argument.
This is a good question. Favorite fried food to have with alcohol?
Yeah, this is a good question. Because for all fried food is good, and all fried food when you are drunk is better.
Mm-hmm. Not from eggs, but yeah, carry on.
I think with alcohol, if I'm going to say one, I'd say something like, you know, like a mozzarella dipper, a breaded camembert, cheese deep fried while drunk. I don't think is something that I think could be beaten, really. So I'd go for something like that.
I think it depends on the alcohol as well, though. This is the thing for me. Like, I don't know that I mean, I don't disagree with what Lyle's just said, but I think it very much would depend on what I was drinking. Like, if I was having a pint of lager in a pub, I'd love some fried chicken with it.
Yeah, if I'm having like beer or something, then like chips or something is the obvious one. If I'm having wine, I'm not sure I want chips with wine.
No, exactly. That's what I mean.
But I mean, Lyle is right generally with the statement of
cheese
or anything is good fried and all that. You know, so yeah, it's a fair answer.
There aren't many answers that are bad to that question.
No, fair.
Lyle, is Power Wash Simulator better or worse than Galgun?
The answer to this question, because I've already stated that Power Wash Simulator is the worst game I've ever played, is that Power Wash Simulator is worse than Galgun, which is quite the feat to say that because Galgun is a game about undressing high school girls with a gun, but Power Wash Simulator is still worse because the gameplay is tedious.
I almost jumped
sad.
In to defend Galgun then, and I was going to say, like, yeah, but sorry, it sounds like you're threatening them at gunpoint. Where no, it's actually a
almost,
gun.
It does. But, like, I'm not going to. Using the gun to, like, unclip
it's not. But it's like a gun that does that. But, like, also, I'm not going to defend it. It's dreadful.
It doesn't deserve defending.
No, I was going to, then I was like, nah. Chris, your questions.
But they're both awful.
Yeah, they are, yeah. There. Chris, your questions. Mate, finished Xenoblade 3 already.
Listen,
that's not a question,
like,
it's a statement.
No, it's which I agree with, but then people... Listen, right? I'm doing it for the people. I'm playing other games so I can contribute to this lovely podcast every week. So, on the side, I get my little uni and lands fix, and it keeps ticking on slowly because I go on the side quest far too often and don't actually finish the main story. I will finish it. And it's brilliant, but I haven't finished it yet. So sorry.
What was your favourite guide to write this year?
There are so many. No, do you know what? And this sounds like the cop-out answer, right? But I did really enjoy the Escape Academy one, just because it was a proper full-on walkthrough. Like, normally the guides that I've done before have been like little ones that are like specific parts of a game. Whereas that Escape Academy one was literally a full walkthrough, 100% walkthrough, which we joked about doing in the past and then never done. And that was the first one of those that I'd ever done. And I was really proud of it. So, and it's a good game and everyone should play it. So, you know, I that's the one that I enjoyed doing the most because it felt like I'd really guided the game properly, like full on guided it. So, yeah, that was the favorite one to write. And the fact that it reminds you how you did it at the end, so it was really easy to guide, it's a bit helpful as well.
Okay, and last question this week, actually, is, are you going to get that Nobody Saves the World vinyl soundtrack?
I mean, I don't have a means to play vinyl, so no, specifically to the question. It's a good soundtrack. I'm not one of these people that tends to sit and listen to soundtracks like that, though I know there's some people in the Discord that do, and Adam Carroll likes doing that as well, but there'll be like one or two songs of a game that I like to listen to. And if I need that, I'll just use YouTube because I'm a cheapskate. Soundtracks have never been one of those things I tend to buy. Although it is, I can see the appeal.
It looks lovely. Well, do you want to see us out and I'll play the jingle?
That's all for listener correspondence this week. It's time.
Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you to everybody who's watched or listened this week. We are a podcast, but we're also a channel on YouTube, God is a Geek, and a website, godisageek.com, and we're on Twitter and all the other places as well, you know, the social meds, sock meds and all that. Thank you to Lyle and to Chris for being here this week, obviously.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Been a fun one.
And if you don't know, you can also go to patreon.com. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/GodIsAGeek, where you can find access to exclusive content, extra podcasts, early podcasts, and all sorts of other stuff, including a Discord community where the people we've been reading out comments from will be able to be, I don't know, harassed or chatted to. We're all in there, so you can do that. Other than that, all that really remains to say is we'll see you for episode 498. Getting close. Hopefully there's some plans. There aren't any plans. Thank you very much, and we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.